following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Nothing beats chocolate for Valentine's, unless it comes with deliciously sweet strawberries dipped in 100% real premium chocolate. And that's why we at Mike and Mike are so excited about Fannie Mae Berries, made from the legendary Chicago chocolate company Fannie Mae.
Unlike other companies that use an oil-based compound rather than real chocolate on their berries, Fannie Mae Berries use large, luscious strawberries and dips them into rich, premium 100% chocolate. Freshness is key, so Fannie Mae Berries are dipped and shipped within 24 hours. The perfect indulgent gift for Valentine's. Let me tell you, it scores some huge points. Not only is it a great gift, but they taste fantastic. Our listeners get a special offer on Fannie Mae Berries. Order the half dozen decadent strawberries for only $19.99. That's $10 off the regular price. Half dozen large strawberries dipped in milk, dark, and white chocolate for only $19.99.
Here's what you need to do, and do it now. Go to fmberries.com. That's fmberries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and type in Mike. That's fmberries.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Den Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insights from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jam-packed Thursday, the day after National Letter of Intent signing day. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein here, as we will be talking momentarily with Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star about the Huskers. Then we'll catch up with UNK football coach Daryl Morris to recap the Lopers class. Hastings College football coach Tony Harper to take a look at the Broncos class. At the end of the show, we're also going to continue our preview of the Heartland Hoops Classic. Coach Tom Crable of Boys Town is going to join us. They take on Norfolk Catholic in the warm-up to the big game between Oak Hill and Omaha Central. And we will talk with Oak Hill Academy coach Steve Smith on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. So keeping busy. And Monty, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for having me.
Are you fired up?
Yeah, I'm fired up. About what? I'm always fired up, Douglas. Always.
This is the question everybody asks. How many stars were you?
There were zero. There were no stars in my... Things have changed, Doug. I hope you know that not too many people were clamoring over a 190-pound tight end out of Gothenburg, Nebraska that could run a 4.9. There wasn't a lot of hype involved in my decision.
Well, take us back. How did that work for you? I mean, you just said, this is what I want to do. And they said, okay, you can come stand around down here. You can give it a shot.
Well, it was a much different deal because there were preferred walk-ons or recruited walk-ons, but they allowed a lot more people to walk on at that time. And, you know, interestingly enough, I was part of a class that was considered, not because of me, but it was considered one of the best recruiting classes Nebraska ever had. And so as a walk-on, you know, that was when you played freshman football. So there was, you know, 75 freshmen that were reporting in. And so it was a way different deal. But John Melton led the recruiting effort. He came out to the farm and ranch at Wild Horse Valley and got in Brady Gothenburg and sat in our living room. And another guy, Coach Thornton, that isn't there anymore, but it was interesting. It was a way different deal. I was just in awe. I was just happy to do it. But, you know, my decision wasn't about that. It was more about, do I want to go to a smaller school and play basketball? Do I want to go to Wyoming? Wyoming was actually a place I was really interested in because of the Novacek connection.
Yeah.
So I'd been out there a little bit, but I was one of those tweeners. And I think they gave a scholarship to a kid from outskirts of Denver. And then I got that phone call about 4 days before signing day, say he accepted a scholarship and I was on the out, so they wanted to know if I'd walk on at Wyoming. Well, you know, if you're going to walk on someplace, come on now.
The red and white, the scarlet and cream looks so much better. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And let's get things started this hour with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Fresh off his MMA fight with Bo Pelini yesterday. Sip, what's going on, man?
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. Great to catch up with you. Aren't you supposed to be on vacation?
No, you know what? No. I mean, that'll happen in June or July. You know, I take about 7 weeks off in the summer, but not yet. You know, it doesn't slow down at this point. There's still things that you got to kind of pay attention to. So, no, I'm working.
Sip, before we get into talking about the class a little bit, when you talk to recruits and you talk to kids these days, whether they're walk-ons or scholarship players from Nebraska or elsewhere, are they still as fired up about getting that visit from Nebraska as they were back when maybe you started covering this whole racket?
Well, you know, Doug, I got to be honest. I haven't been a beat writer for so long that, you know, our beat guys call the kids. I don't call them. You know, I haven't called him for six or seven years, I guess, been since I took over as the columnist. So I don't know that. It's hard to say. I just can't answer it.
Sip, this is Monty Kratzenstein. I was wondering, is it difficult in your situation to not be cynical of all this recruiting stuff? And things have changed. We'd all like to change it, but we can't. We can't go backwards. It is what it is. Is it tough for you?
Monty, how old are you? You were playing, I think, when I was in school, right?
46. 46 years
old.
Yeah,
we're the same age. We're the same age. Now, is it hard to be? It's hard not to be cynical about anything at age 46. is what I find. But it's, you know, I'm not as bad as you might expect about recruiting. A lot of the stuff that might bother some people doesn't necessarily bother me that much. And at Nebraska, here's why. Because one thing, I like the way Bo does it, and I like the way Frank did it, and I like the way Tom did it, and even Bill to a certain extent. So at Nebraska, it doesn't bother me because of that and because of the type of kid that they get here. And, you know, I said I didn't talk to him, and I don't, but I read the stories. I talked to a few kids and not when they committed and all that, but just didn't get ready for the big day. And once you talk to them, some of that cynicism goes away. Once I hear Bo talk on signing day, some of my cynicism subsides. And honestly, I think Bo's probably as cynical as anybody about this stuff. And he makes it pretty clear that a lot of what he has to do, and especially now with the rule changes, particularly the unlimited contact, what he has to do really goes against who he is. I mean, he's really, I mean, I don't know that he'd say it in these words, but and I think in a lot of ways he's got to compromise himself a little bit. He's got to compromise his principles. He doesn't believe in, you know, texting a kid 30 times, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever, what you're going to do. So, whatever you're going to do, you know, but he knows he has to play the game. So I guess the short answer is, when I'm dealing with Nebraska, generally the cynicism isn't so bad.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about a lot is there's certain coaches that are just always in the media. They're always on TV. They're on ESPN. They sell their program. They're salesmen. And as we know, Bo, that isn't Bo's strength. What would you say Bo's strength is when it comes to recruiting kids?
Very down to earth. It's not about him. It's about the institution. And I do think he sells the institution very well. Because I know he believes, I know that at his core, he is very, I mean, I can't tell you how important the academic part is to him and getting kids ready. Not for the NFL, but ready for life. And it sounds corny and hokey, but I'm telling you, that is what it's about for him. And I don't know, I don't think people like to hear that all the time. Certain people don't. Now, as I've gotten older, I like it. I like it more and more because I understand how important it is. And so he goes and sells that aspect, you know. And he's, as he said yesterday, I mean, he said that football, in some ways to him, and when he's out on the recruiting trail selling, is secondary. He said the words yesterday, the football part will take care of itself. So, you know, that's why I believe in many ways Bo's a good fit here, because of what Nebraska's created in terms of their academic support staff, which is, you know, maybe second to none.
Talking with Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda and Monty Kratzenstein. We had Mitch Sherman on Tuesday, and he was pretty sure that it was either going to come up or he was going to ask about the changes in recruiting. And we've talked about this. I go back to when we were in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days, when Bo sits at the round table and can just kind of freely discuss things. I think he could have freely discussed the changes in recruiting for quite some time. He really has a problem with this. Sip, is that what the majority of coaches feel in the country that you know or have talked to, or have you got a feel on that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a great feel except for the guys around Nebraska. And, you know, I probably, Doug, it just inevitably depends on who you talk to. But I thought Bo's response was interesting yesterday in that he didn't think of himself and his profession. He didn't think about it from that angle. He thought about it from the angle of the kids involved, not only the recruits but the players he has on campus. I thought he made a great point that we're limited to. He said the coaches are limited to 20 hours with the players on the roster, but now they have this unlimited contact with players who aren't on the roster. And therefore, it kind of shortchanges the guys that are on campus. If coaches are spending all of their time, or you know, a significant amount of time, more time than that, you know, than 20 hours, then you're in essence you're shortchanging the kids that are already in your program. And is it doing those high school kids that you're recruiting any good if they're getting so many texts that it's, you know, that it's taken away from, you know, study time? Or even thinking about school. If Nick Saban's texting you, and Les Miles, and you're a 17-year-old kid, you're gonna get swept away a little bit, and you may not be thinking about your geometry test, your priorities just get out of whack. So, I thought his answer was really good, and it's, you know, I think he'll deal with it. I think he'll adapt, but I know he has he said at the press conference he has misgivings about it.
You know, sometime I'd like to have an NCAA guy on here, Doug, truly, and just ask him, what are you thinking? Because
I want to do that almost on a weekly basis. Are you kidding me?
Because, as you said, Sip, it's one of those things where, you know, you have to do it. If you don't do it, there's certain kids that want the attention, but after a while, it gets old. So I guarantee you that Les Miles and Nick Saban aren't going to be texting kids at halftime of games, but they're going to have people texting people at halftime of games. Hey, hope you're watching our game. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I just don't see any point of that. I don't see any advantage of that for the kid or for the coach or the university. So I don't get it. But again, we can't change it.
Well, I think there's a couple things. I mean, there is what the coaches wanted was uniformity and the rules, and you have that now, okay? So that's kind of a positive. The other positive is, I don't know that it's a positive, but if you're looking for positives, maybe you could say that, you know, coaches oftentimes in the recruiting process will say it's hard to get to know a kid. You don't really know them. You just don't have enough time to get to know them because of the or enough opportunities to get to know them because of the recruiting restrictions that are currently in place. Well, now that won't be an issue. You will be able to get to know the kids as you know, as much as you want. So that, you know, that's good. And then the other, you know what, there is one other thing about this. It's good. And I say that, and I'm not reaching here. I think what this will do is take away the third-party people. Or even the fourth party people. It'll take, because now the coach can just go directly to the kid, and he doesn't have to mess around you know what I'm talking about, during dead periods, during times when they can't get the kid, get to the kid, and they have to go to, you know, his AAU coach if it's a basketball player or whoever. God only knows sometimes who you got to go to. Okay, for instance, the recruiting websites. And, you know, I love those guys, Sean Callahan, et cetera, friends. I mean, some of them are very good friends, but they get in the middle of it sometimes. So, you know what? This will take that away. They don't have to go through those guys for anything, you know, because they can just go straight to the source. The coaches can. So, in some ways, as crazy as that rule seems right now, in some ways it makes sense.
See, that's what I like about you, Sip. You can always bring the good. Show us the good of things. That's why we keep calling him back over and over again. He always brings the good to the show.
There is no doubt about it.
Well,
Sean will be Sean will be with us to really break this class down on tomorrow's show. But Sip, I think, you know, from the really getting crazy into the recruiting, we're kind of the same. Okay, yeah, it's here, and here's what they're telling us. But what was your sense yesterday? The national recruiting sites put it between 11 and 23rd, which I think anybody seems to take, the fans like that, if you're in the top 25. What other tidbits did you take from the press conference yesterday?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The one thing, and I heard in Sean Callahan, has talked about it to me over the past few weeks. The one thing about this class that I really like is you can't, you know, there's 26 guys, and I don't see a reach. I don't see a guy where you go, what? What is that? Why? Why did they recruit him? And you can do that. You can go back on both classes and do that quite often. Not in this class, though. So and you're talking 26 guys. That's what I kind of took out of it. I thought it was interesting to hear Bo talk about Drake Martinez. Bo obviously has a great relationship with that family, but he kind of removed himself until it was getting a little dicey, and then he had to step in because Michigan State became a factor. Drake Martinez is very intriguing to me because he's a savage tackler, and he runs like his brother. I think he could be very good. In fact, I really like the future at safety. I think between Drake Martinez, DJ Singleton, and that kid from South Dakota, Nathan Gary, boy, I mean, and, you know, that's a both specialty position, and I think he's got guys he really likes. And, you know, I can go up and down the class of guys I really like and for various reasons. And the guy I would say that is a sleeper, that you don't hear a lot about is that DeMario Mixon, a kid from West Mesquite, Texas. I would watch him pretty close. He's a natural. I mean, he's a natural football player. It looks to me like he was put on earth to get to a quarterback.
Folks, you can check out more about what Sip thinks in his article today in the Lincoln Journal Star or online in their journalstarsports.com. So check that out. They keep you up to date as well on their daily blog. So he's mentioned those guys that Sip just mentioned, Martinez and Mixon and the running backs and Randy Gregory, some guys like that that are out there that are going to make some noise. Finally, Sip, last question, and we'll let you out of here. A month away from spring ball, what's the storyline between now and then? We've got Thad Randall on the injured list right now. You lose a couple kids in Braylon Hurd and Chase Rome. Is there anything else we need to know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's some stuff that will be coming out. I got to be careful. But, the news isn't over. Just read the Journal Star. But it's got to be an interesting spring. And I'm mainly talking about seeing some of these new guys on defense and seeing if indeed what the head coach says is true, that they'll have an upgrade in athleticism at, you know, linebacker and in that front seven with guys like Vincent Valentine and Greg McMullen and Avery Moss and Thomas Brown. Bo talked about that yesterday, that he has regrets about redshirting some guys, not using some guys that probably could have helped them. It was very interesting to hear him say that publicly. I wouldn't have expected him to admit that. But that's what I think the spring's all about to me, is seeing those new defenders.
Another year of maturity and growth all the way along, from the players to the coaching staff to those that follow the Huskers. And Steve, we appreciate you giving us some time here. I just called him Steve. I never call him Steve. Sip, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, man. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, Doug, it's nice talking to you. Monty, it's really nice to hear from you. I remember those days where you're playing very well. Keep Doug in line.
I'll try. And by the way, your Daily Nebraskan stuff was always a highlight of my sitting in my classical mythology class reading your stuff.
You're too kind. All right, go study. I'll see you guys later.
Be good, Sip. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, always awesome here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Quick thought, Monty, before we go to break, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper coming up, but a quick thought on what Sip had to say or more on the class?
Well, you couldn't listen to that press conference and not be impressed with Bo's enthusiasm. I mean, I know he kind of comes off sometimes not so much, but as you listen to the whole thing, I thought he was very enthusiastic. You can tell he's excited. You can tell. Now, some people might say, oh, he feels like he needs to be, and he's adapting, and he feels like he needs to be better in front of the behind the microphone, so on. But he's excited about this. He's excited about this class. He's excited about spring. He's excited about some of those kids that did redshirt. You know, he said, there's some of those kids that could have played that we redshirted. In hindsight, that's a mistake because of some of the injuries and the things that happened.
It's only a mistake if their senior year is a waste.
Well, and
because that's the year that they would have been gone.
And I'm one of those guys that I don't necessarily like saving players because so many things can change, as you say, by the time they get to be a senior year. You know, I think depth is something that we found is so important, especially playing the schedule you play, injuries and so on. So I think maybe the time of redshirting, it'd be interesting how many of these 26 kids will redshirt, because if you look down the list, there's some kids that probably can contribute in some way, shape, or form.
Doug and Daddy Show, another page in the Bo Pelini book written yesterday. We'll take a break here. Don't forget, we're back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth with your emails, your phone calls, and plenty of interviews. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper next.
Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm a busy mom with three kids, and I know what it feels like to struggle with weight loss. Looking back, after my last baby, my weight really caught up with me. I can remember feeling overweight, unhappy, and I had no energy. I lost the weight, and years later, I've been able to keep it off. That struggle is why I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm.
Try Refirm, the breakthrough weight loss product for men and women only at Complete Nutrition. Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells.
And that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store today and get a free Refirm consult while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, consult your Complete Nutrition pro to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Boardman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's the Herd. The time is now. Don't wait another minute to order your Valentine roses from 1-800-Flowers.com. Do it now before it's too late. This year, you got a wower. You need to order from 1-800-Flowers.com. Highest quality roses at the best value. I've been using them now for 2 years. And I always think the value's the best part. Right now from 1-800-Flowers.com, a special limited time offer for my listeners. 18 stunning Valentine roses. Are you kidding me? For only $29.99. They're beautiful. What a price. This amazing offer, 18 roses, $29.99 from 1-800-Flowers.com, ends today at midnight. So you gotta order now. It ends Wednesday at midnight. For this and other incredible Valentine's offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device, click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name.
More exciting high school sports comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. High school hoops on Thursday. The Breeze 94.5 FM brings you the St. Cecilia girls at Sutton, tipping off at 7:30. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Kearney Catholic welcomes in Loop City for a doubleheader beginning at 5:45. And don't forget, Saturday, the D3 District Wrestling Finals on Classic Hits 98.9 and the Heartland Hoops Classic on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across our area today with a high temperature of 53. North winds stay at around 10 to 15. With a clear sky, tonight we'll drop off to 22 as winds turn to the southeast. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 45.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Gutimani Kratzenstein with you on this Thursday, the day after National Letterman 10th Signing Day. Kick back, relax, and chat about your favorite class, whether it's the Huskers or the Irish or the Sooners or whoever it may be, or it could be the Lopers or the Broncos. You can do it at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney, where they've got lunch specials every single day for you. Specialty burger, domestic draft, only $6.49. Or if you just want a Juicy Lucy or Juicy Jack, they can take care of that. They've also got pizza, barbecue. Oh, check that out as well. Salads, bacon-wrapped shrimp. And, of course, if it's not for lunch, you can enjoy entertainment and happy hour every day as well. Located on 23rd Street in downtown Kearney, your home away from home for sports, live entertainment, and great food is Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. And Daryl Morris, the head football coach at UNK, 29 players yesterday with five transfers coming into UNK. And I know that a lot of the coaches had smiles on their face yesterday when they finally got a chance to relax. Coach, welcome in, and congratulations on what looks to be a great recruiting class.
Hey, thanks, Doug. We're excited about them. We think that we met the needs that we have, not only short-term but long-term needs that we have in our program. So hopefully these young men will come in and be great students for not only the university but also our football program.
Coach Simone Kratzenstein, I was wondering, what were some of the immediate needs that you felt like you had?
Well, you know, obviously we had to get some stuff done in the secondary. We were dead last in defending the pass last year, and I felt like we needed to upgrade the secondary. But you're always looking for linemen on both sides of the ball, the defensive end position. Get some kids that can start out at the defensive end, maybe even grow and move down inside later on in their careers. Some linebackers we look for on defense, but offensive linemen as well, preferably tackles. Now we still have a need for that, so we're still going to do some recruiting in the offensive tackle position. Another running back or two, some wide outs. So just about everything across the board, but secondary was a big one for me.
How did you recruit, if at all, any differently now that you've been through the MIAA 1 year?
Well, we look for speed, Doug, and we had this conversation before. I felt like we needed to improve our overall team speed, and I think we did that. I mean, that was basically the first criteria. When we looked at somebody, he had to be able to run, and we wanted to make sure he was playing against good competition and kids that also could run so that we could watch him on film and see him run away from people and or either chase people down. So speed was a big deal.
Coach, was there any area or there areas that you went into this year that you really hadn't gotten kids before?
No, I think every year, you know, you're going to emphasize something a little bit differently, but we've always had to try to meet a need at just about every position on the football team before. And I think, if you look at the people we signed, it's all the way across the board. We even signed a kid just as a long snapper this year, so that might be one that we've never actually just gone out and hunted down a long snapper. But for the most part, it's just been a bit across the board.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. You went from Alaska, and you got to fill me in on who gets to recruit Alaska, all the way to Florida, where you pick up seven kids. We know about the kids for the most part from Nebraska, and especially here within about a 80, 90, 100-mile radius. But talk about some of those outstate kids that you went to get, especially hitting Florida hard.
Well, you know, Andy Siegel, our offensive coordinator, has coached high school football in the state of Florida at several different high schools and has some connections down there. And I went to high school in Florida, and my parents still live there, and my grandkids still live there. My daughter lives there. So it was just a place that you can go and you can find kids that can run. I mean, the state of Florida is a speed state, as is California, as is Texas. And so we went down there to find kids that could run. And when you know some guys that you feel comfortable with, that they're going to give you the straight scoop and that they're going to tell you that this is a good kid, he's a good football player, and then you can believe it, then that always helps you in recruiting.
Well, let's get into give me a name or two. Give the fans a name or two that could make an impact early on in their Loper career.
Well, I think just the local one right here, Luke McNitt. You know, Luke McNitt is physically ready to play college football. I mean, he benches 405 pounds, and, you know, he's got all the weight room numbers, and he's familiar with our program. And, you know, we're going to give Luke a shot at quarterback, but I think Luke's probably going to turn into somebody much like his brother that could play tight end, could play fullback, could play tailback, could play quarterback, could play H-back. And I think as fast as we can teach it to Luke, and he's a very smart kid because, Doug, his ACT score is way above yours. I think Luke's a guy that can come in here and probably get something done. George Brown out of University City in Missouri, is a free safety who, you know, I think we beat Central Missouri on him. We beat Northwest Missouri on him. And George is a guy that might be able to come in and play pretty quick.
Coach, I appreciate you not mentioning my ACT score. You're getting after Doug a little bit.
I thought that was a given.
Well, you know. Hey, were you tempted to take about six quarterbacks based on the history of this
last
year?
You know, we do. We can hurt them. So, you know, we did. We actually had one other young man had committed to us, and then I think FIU ended up with him. But, you know, I mean, it's a deal where if I had eight, I'd need nine. If I had nine, I'd need 10. So, I think we're pretty good talent-wise. We still got Sam Bauer here from Seward High School in Seward, Nebraska, and Sam's a good football player and a very smart young man and a good athlete. So, you know, everybody talks about Bronson Marsh coming from UNL, and he's the automatic starter. Not so fast, my friend. I mean, he's going to have to win the job, and Sam's been here for a year and understands what's going on, and he's a good football player.
I know that has to be uncomfortable in a variety of ways, that you know you have to fill some positions, yet you've got kids, no matter what the position is, that want to get into that role as well. But this is the first time we've had you on since Bronson did decide to leave Nebraska. You guys heavily recruited him out of high school, and some folks are saying he could be one of the best if he continues to develop that UNK has seen. What is it that makes him so potentially outstanding?
Well, he throws the ball very well, and he's agile, and he can move around, and that's what we look for in a quarterback. We look for that dual-threat kind of guy that can throw the football standing in the pocket, but also get out of the pocket and cause people problems and be down the field before they even realize that he's gone. So, I mean, he just has that kind of ability. He is a Jake Spitzelberger-type player that can throw the football and run with it.
Let's take a look at a couple of the other area kids. We've had some of the young men on after they committed, both of the Adams Central gentlemen. You've got David Squires right down the road at Kearney Catholic. You already mentioned Luke McNitt. We had Tyler Schnitzler on yesterday. You've got Boardman from Ravenna. You've got Anderson from Arapahoe. You've got the young man Alex Hunt from Aurora. So, and then you mix in your Lincoln and Omaha kids as well. Good mixture of Nebraska kids, 21 of them overall.
Yeah, and you know, and we've talked about this before. We're never going to get out of shopping in our own backyard. And a lot of these local kids are good football players. They're going to be good players. They're big guys. They're strong guys. They're the typical Nebraska kid, you know, that's big and strong. And so we're always going to try to find those kids that have some interest in our program, our institution, and don't want to get too far away from home. So and it creates interest in our program throughout the community. So we're excited to have them.
Coach, one last thing. What's one thing that you sell like crazy to these kids when, you know, whether you're going around the country and whatever, when you're looking at UNK, what's the primary thing that you're selling?
We're selling the fact that this is a top 10 ranked academic institution and that you can come here and have a tremendous educational experience, big enough school to have a university experience, but small enough to, you know, get that one-on-one kind of education. So I think the institution sells itself very well. In the respect that it's a great place to get an education.
Last minute with UNK football coach Daryl Morris. When I heard this and had to wait for it officially to come out yesterday, I thought it was a great get. And one thing that maybe people don't realize yet, and when we talk to Coach Harper next, this is kind of a flip-flop deal, but Dalton Seeley is going to get a second opportunity to do something with his college football career and was an outstanding player through his career so far, and he's one of the kids that's transferring over along with Justin Small. But could you just address the Dalton Seeley situation?
Well, Dalton made some poor decisions at Hastings College and in Hastings, Nebraska, and he still has to rectify those things, and that's not settled yet. But you know, young people sometimes go left when they should go right, and I believe in second chances. I really do. And you know, if Dalton can come in here and be a clean-cut guy and behave himself and do what we ask him to do and go to class and be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there doing what he's supposed to be doing, then he'll get along fine. What he does here is what we will judge him on. And, of course, again, he's still got to take care of matters that are still pending in Hastings, but, you know, we'll judge him on what he does here.
And finally, as you always say, this isn't the end of the recruiting class. Any insight as to what's left?
Well, we did have one young man, a linebacker, that has not quite, he has not signed his national letter of intent. He has one, but he hasn't signed it yet, so we're still waiting on a decision out of him. We thought we were out of the hunt with an offensive tackle out of Florida, but we still might be in there. And then probably we still have to find us two older corners to go along with the young kids that we got in the secondary. We still have money in the budget for that, but you're going to have to wait until May to start looking for those kids that don't end up being Division I eligible.
All right, Daryl. Hey, I'm sure we got a lot more questions, but spring ball's right around the corner. Do we have an official start date?
Well, I'd like to start as early as March 4th, but, you know, Mother Nature will decide when we start spring ball here. But we're going to try to get anywhere from 4 to 6 practices in before we go to spring break, and that starts on the 18th of March. So sometime that first week or that second week of March, we got to get her going.
All right. Well, I'm glad everybody had a good time yesterday with this class, and hopefully, as we all hope, it develops into what you guys know it can be. We'll talk to you again soon, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
That's Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking about National 11-10 signing day for the Lopers. I know some of these guys you can't overblow it, because everybody they bring in they think is special, but this group, that's a lot of good kids.
Absolutely. I think they have to be really pleased. And you know, what we didn't talk about coaches are never going to say, yeah, we had an increased effort in our recruiting this year. You know, nobody's going to say that. But I would use the term urgency. That there's no doubt that at Nebraska and at UNK and a lot of these places that are looking to take that next step or a step forward, you have to have that urgency. And I sense that. I sense that, and I also – you look at the list of these kids that are going to be Lopers, you're right. A good group of kids, good mix.
Well, they're trying to get back to where they've been, just like Hastings College is. Coach Tony Harper, also 25 kids at last check had signed on the dotted line, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Monty Kratzenstein. And Coach, good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was missing you. Then I saw Ed Littler caught you at the basketball game the other night, so I was glad to see you were doing good.
Oh, yeah, I'm just hiding out, trying to keep low profile, but I couldn't sneak away from Ed. He put me on the camera, I guess.
Well, let's take a dive into this. I guess I kind of want you to go the direction that you think, because a couple of things obviously stick out. Jake Fowler is an outstanding player. I think he's the headline for the local people and maybe of all 25, but also heavy on the offense. And you're going to be talking at the end of the interview about still finding some players, but wow, out of 25 kids, 17 of those have a check mark on the O side.
Yeah, I mean, we graduated a lot of good guys off this past year's team. We had a very explosive offense, and we have a lot of holes over there to fill. And we also obviously got some good young kids coming back that'll be competing for those jobs. But we need to get a fresh batch of offensive guys in here, guys that come from winning programs. And that's not to say that we're satisfied with the defense, because we definitely got a lot of work to do on that side. But we need some experience over there, some explosiveness, and pretty excited, like every coach should be, about the guys we've gotten so far.
I see on your list, Coach, that Tyler Seals, a kid that I was a little bit familiar with when he was in high school, I think he was a Bellevue West kid, you know, threw out some incredible numbers. He got him for a transfer. Can you talk about him just a second?
Yeah, you know, we got Tyler to transfer back from Northwest Missouri State University down there in Maryville, you know, one of the best Division II programs in the nation, and obviously we got some coaches on the staff that are from down that way as well, and you know, Tyler was just looking. He's got one more season of competition eligibility, and he was looking for a place to come in and compete right away, and fortunately we have that opportunity here. And coming out of Bell West, I mean, he was two-time All-State. He threw for a bunch of yards. He's an older guy. He's got great leadership qualities. But he kind of fell into our laps. We're very fortunate to have him, very excited to have him.
My sheet here says six of these gentlemen have a QB besides their name. Explain.
Well, John Dostal was our senior starter last year, two-year starter for us. He was 30 yards away from breaking the school record for most passing yards in a season. So we were looking to bring in some good competition at that. You know, and I want to remind everybody, we still got Matt Overmiller coming back. You know, he's going to be just a junior next year. Matt will come into spring ball as a guy that's at that position because of his experience, his knowledge in the scheme and everything like that. Obviously, we were very fortunate enough to get Jordan Jakupke to transfer down from Morningside, you know, a St. Cecilia guy that's been out a couple years. So, you know, Jordan will battle against Matt during spring ball, and it's something that we're very excited about. And, you know, we kind of joked out about it during the season. Our leading receiver is a former quarterback. Our second string tight end is a former quarterback. Garrett Griffith is a starting corner for us. He's a former quarterback. Everybody's favorite, Jacob Jensen, he's a former quarterback. He's going to be starting linebacker for us. So we just try and find the best fit and the guys that have that leadership quality, and most of the time it's quarterbacks.
Well, Monty, if you're not looking for a lineman, usually that quarterback's probably supposed to be the best athlete on your high school team most of the time. So you can see how that translates. But go ahead.
You know, speaking of linemen, talk to us about the big dogs up front. All of us media types always want to talk about the pretty boy positions, but we know that the trenches is what wins it for you. Talk about those kids that you got.
Well, you know, we graduated Derek Whipple, who was an all-conference guy for us, who was a three-year starter, and then Eric Sullivan, who was our starting right tackle up until his injury. And in every coach, again, here we go into this coach speak, every coach says they need O-linemen and D-linemen, and we definitely did, just like everybody else. But a couple guys that we're very, very excited about is Y.E.E.O. from Valor Christian out in Colorado. I mean, they won four straight state championships. They're a nationally ranked high school program. We got his cousin here right now with us, and we're very excited to have Y.E. He came on campus, and he definitely passed the eye test. He's a great kid, comes from a great family. You know, we got in late on a guy, Jordan Workman from Beatrice, about 6'3", 280, 285, and obviously everybody knows how good Beatrice is with Coach Sexton and his staff down there. He came on campus, and I mean, it was just a right fit. He came in, and a week and a half later, he committed to us. So we're very excited to have those two guys. And then we got a couple guys that are going to be playing in the Shrine game this summer from over in the metro area, you know, and that's huge. Anytime we can sneak into Omaha and steal some guys out of there, we're pretty excited about having Mark Nellis come and Corey Kerfman as well.
You know, you talked about getting kids from winning programs, and as I look through this list, I see a lot of those kids. And you mentioned the Millard South, the Millard West, the Beatrice and those sort of things. How big a deal is that to you as a coach? Obviously, you can't just hang around the teams that win, but talk about recruiting kids from winning programs and how that fits into your philosophy.
Well, that's one of the first things we tell a recruit when he comes on campus with his family. We sit down and we say, guys, we want guys that are winners. We want guys that have been there. They've won the state championships, you know, like Joe Kanan, the tight end from Gross that we got this year. They won the Class B. They know the extra steps that they need to take to get to the next level. You know, this is a year-round deal for every level, for every college and high school. And those are the guys that you can build a program on. They know what the work is. They know the extra time, the extra film work, the attitude of doing things the right way when they're not on the football field and when they're in the classroom. They just got that leadership quality, and that's a big deal for us. And if you look through that list, I mean, you got a lot of teams that were in the playoffs this year, some state championships. So that success just breeds success, and it's those are the guys we're trying to build off on.
Talking with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, here for another couple moments about his 2013 recruiting class. Got to get a comment about Jake Fowler. Nice job.
I tell you what, we are the assistant coaches did a great job recruiting Jake. Jake is a great young man. I mean, we've been watching him, you know, for the last two and a half years since we took over as a coaching staff. And I'll be quite honest with you, we feel very fortunate, very lucky to get him. He's just a great young man. Comes from a great family. Obviously, great program, playing for Coach Carlin over there at Adams Central, but. You know, it's kind of funny. We were typing up all these accolades, and I kept hitting return and return and return. I had to give him a little grief because of all these awards and honors that he had. But we're very excited to have him. You know, we graduated Keenan Blodge, our starter from last year, and Jake is going to have every opportunity to come in here and compete very early in his career. And another thing Jake can do is he can catch a punt and return kicks too. That's going to be huge for us. We're very excited to have Jake.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that sometimes recruiting kids from your own hometown is one of the hardest things to do because it's not cool. It's not cool to go to the college that is at your hometown. Everybody wants to get out and go someplace else. And sometimes I found that those are some of the most difficult recruiting jobs.
You know, you hit it right on the head, and I think that's probably very true. You know, fortunately, if you look in the past and the history of Hastings College prior to me and Coach Merck, I mean, back in the day when Hastings was winning the conference and stuff, their core of their team, their leaders, their football players came from this Adams County and definitely within the Hastings city limits. And so there's a kind of a history of success of going from local into Hastings College. And that's something we got to continue to build on. And I think it's huge having, you know, Matt Overmiller here from Adams Central, Nate Arlt from Adams Central. You got Jordan Consburg from St. Cecilia. We've had Riley Nicklin and some other guys like that. And, you know, the funny thing was, though, when we were talking to Jake, not one time did that ever really come up. I mean, that was never really a concern for him. His main concern was, is it going to be a fit? Academically, am I going to be successful? And we're very fortunate to get him.
Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College, as we said with Coach Morris, still looking for a couple things. What do you got out there?
Oh, we're still going to be beating the bushes. You mentioned it earlier. We got all these offensive guys. We definitely need to get some daggum defensive guys on here. But we got some pretty good defensive players. We need to solidify the D-line. We got a good core of linebackers coming back, but we still need to get some more of those strong safety outside linebacker type of guys. We're feeling very comfortable with the quarterback situation. It'd be nice to go out and get a couple more receivers, though. So receivers, those outside linebacker, strong safety type of guys, and obviously O-linemen and D-linemen too.
All right, buddy, we'll let you get back to work. Congratulations. We look forward to watching these kids play football for Hastings College.
I got one more thing that I would like to mention to you specifically. Jordan Brown is now our defensive coordinator, so we're looking forward to having Jordan calling the defense for as long as he's here. So I will not make him wear that gold medal around his neck, though.
I would if I was recruiting. Well, congratulations to him, and way to go get him four whole players.
There we go.
Well, that's good news. Hey, Coach, appreciate you filling us in. And, when we do our defensive coordinator interviews this year, they're going to be really long.
There you go, because he will talk. I guarantee you that.
Hey, Coach, thanks, Tony. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Have a good day.
Yeah, boy, another day of running around campus with no shirt and just a gold medal around his neck. Hey, Jordan Brown, that's good stuff. Hastings College football team. And as we've talked about, we talked more about it, not going Division One and maybe staying at a 1A or Division Two, they battle the same thing at Hastings College. I mean, let's face it. Jake Fowler is talented enough to play above Hastings College. NAIA. That's not a shot at Hastings College. I'm saying NAIA or GPAC Conference. So that is, I mean, I don't know all those kids, but that's a big, huge keep for Hastings.
Sometimes we forget. We talk about stars, we talk about numbers, rankings, all this sort of thing, and we forget about this is a huge decision for these young men and their families. You know, it's where they're going to spend, hopefully, the next 4 to 5 years of their life. And it isn't for everybody. I mean, Division I is not for everybody, even if you have Division I talent. You know, you can, and that's one of the toughest things as a coach when you go out to recruit these kids is you have to get a feel for, are they the right fit for your program, and is your program the right fit for them? If it's not, sometimes you have to move on. A lot of people talk, going back to the University of Nebraska, you know, why don't we get more top 100 athletes to Nebraska? Why can't we get that kid? Well, you know, Sip talked about it a little bit. There's a profile of kid. You know, Nebraska is at a little bit of a disadvantage, not a little bit, a disadvantage when it comes to some things. They have to sell their strengths. UNK has to sell their strengths. Hastings College, you know, there's certain kids that they go after that it is a right fit, and it's exciting when those fits come together.
Well, that is a recap of National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Huskers, Lopers, Broncos. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball. Irish Ken has fired us an email. Looks like the Huskers did okay on their new recruits. Not great, but good. Last I heard, they were third in the Big Ten. That should help, I hope, and that's true behind Ohio State and Michigan. His Irish, he thinks, also had a good day, even though he may not know all the guys that they signed. And he also says, because he loves the area basketball and the area teams, last chance to see a home game for the Kearney Catholic girls tonight. The boys will have one next week, but we'll see if they can make it down to state next week. Minden sub-district pairings out today. All that and more coming up. And we're going to talk with Tom Crable, head boys basketball coach at Boys Town. They are coming back again to the Heartland Hoops Classic on Saturday. We're back after this.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I head to Cunningham's Journal. Why thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports, Wi-Fi, internet, to keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face-deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape Ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
At Advanced Auto Parts, we don't just sell parts. Oh, no. We get you the part you need. Lickety-split. Our knowledgeable team members will do the legwork, arm work, or torso work, whatever it takes, to make sure you don't just get a part, you get the right part. Fast. Plus, right now, get up to $50 back by mail when you buy Moog steering and suspension products. Only at
Advanced Auto Parts.
See store for details. Mail-in rebate. Void where prohibited.
She tells her friends you're a sweet guy. Prove it. This Valentine's Day, be her hero with the Valentine's Day bouquet from Edible Arrangements. Juicy heart-shaped pineapples and strawberries dipped in gourmet chocolate. To order the Valentine's Day bouquet, visit one of our locations. Call 1-877-DO-FRUIT or go to ediblearrangements.com. Gifts start at $29. To celebrate early, see our Valentine's specials like free delivery at ediblearrangements.com/sweet.
Edible Arrangements.
See website for details.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across our area today with a high temperature of 53. North wind stayed around 10 to 15. With a clear sky tonight, we'll drop off to 22 as winds turn to the southeast. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 45.
He said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full main Blue Mansion, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying.
Doug and Daddy's show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where they can set you up with a 2013 vehicle, car or truck. Maybe they'll set you up with a pre-owned vehicle that's in stock. 50 of those at least right now are under $10,000. They've got a wide range of prices, of cars, of trucks, of models, of makes, and you can check it all out when you visit their lot or, of course, go to the greatest website that there is, thinkmidway.com, and you can look at each vehicle. You can see the color. You can have a little mini tour of each. They take numerous pictures. Some of them have videos on it where they take you through the vehicle and explain each and every one of them, and you'll be prepared when you walk on the lot. You'll say, hey, I want to look at these two or three or four vehicles, and the great sales staff at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac will take care of you. It is the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway a Better Way, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Well, the Heartland Hoops Classic is coming up on Saturday. Every single game is on our network of stations starting bright and early at 8:30 a.m. with the Heartland Lutheran High Plains game. And, of course, Tanner Fate from High Plains just committed to Hastings College, and he'll be leading High Plains. First three are here on ESPN, and then we'll switch it over to the Breeze, 94.5 FM, and the evening games, including Boys Town Norfolk Catholic, will be on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. And Boys Town has kind of become a fixture here at the 6th Annual Heartland Hoops Classic. Coach Tom Crable joins me, Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein on the program. Coach, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Well, great to hear from you again, and we're just looking forward to a great ball game with Norfolk Catholic. But first off, what is it that keeps you coming back for a premier or a marquee matchup or something different to come out of the Metro to come to Grand Island?
Well, first of all, Tino puts on a great a great event. We get treated so well out there. The fans, you know, we don't bring a lot of people because we have different things going on that day on our campus. So the fans treat us well every time we've been out there. The facility out there is second to none. I mean, it's a wonderful arena to play. So the whole, you know, pomp and circumstance of the event and the court you get to play on. And then, you know, we played quality opponents. We played Grand Island Northwest, who was very good that year. And then we played an outstanding Ravenna team the next time we came out. And then, of course, we're going to play a very good Norfolk Catholic team this time.
Coach, when I look at your schedule, I'm impressed. I mean, I don't know if you're responsible for that or somebody that has a grudge against you put that together. But
no, I put that together.
Well, actually, when I look at it as a maybe a former coach, I think it's a great mm-hmm. schedule just because I see a lot of variety of teams and a lot of variety of styles. Could you comment on your schedule and how it's prepared you or hopefully prepared you for the end of the season when it comes to district and state?
Sure. I mean, we want to play teams that get up and down. We want to play teams that walk it up and down. I mean, we want to play a variety of teams. We want to play talented teams because that's what you're going to see when you get it deep into district and the state tournament time. We're very fortunate in that we've had a good run here over the last 10 years. So we have a pretty good reputation. People want to play us as well. We played Class A Benson this year. We played a ton of Class B teams as well as the quality C1 and C2 teams. So we want to challenge our kids. We sell our kids on that in that, I don't particularly want to go undefeated through a season. We want kids to get challenged, and we want to learn through some defeats, and we want to learn through some adversity, and we've certainly done our fair share of that.
Well, for those of us that have not had the opportunity to watch your team play, could you talk a little bit about your strengths and maybe some of your weaknesses, something we can look forward to and getting ready
sure.
to watch you guys?
Yeah, we score a lot of points. I mean, we're fun to watch. We get up in about the high 60s, low 70s. We're not walking it up. Unfortunately, we can't defend my daughter's eighth grade team.
Spoken like a true coach.
Yeah, so we're giving up 62, which has been a little bit of our problem here. So that's a weakness is clearly our kids' commitment to defense throughout the entire game, although we've gotten better here the last couple of weeks at that. We shoot the ball pretty well. I mean, we're athletic, but we're not just athletes. We do have some basketball players. And then we're very young, and that's the thing that we're kind of excited about and that we're trying to have a good year here for our seniors. But clearly, if we can keep these kids, our best days are in front of us with this group because we play two freshmen and a whole bunch of underclassmen in our top nine.
Talking with Tom Crable, head coach at Boys Town, one of the things that we've talked with him on the Doug and Daddy show before, one of the things we've talked about is the group of kids that you start the season with are rarely the group of kids you end the season with. What's turnover been like for you this year?
We've had a couple. Mainly what we're dealing with, since we're so young, it's getting those kids to understand and bought into the culture that we have here in our sports programs, in that just because you can score 20 a game doesn't mean you get to do anything you want off the court. I mean, you have expectations. You're held to a certain standard. You're held accountable for your behavior. And, at times we've had some suspensions and some things that have had to take place to get everybody bought in. Now, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've been pretty steady, haven't had any problems, and our play's shown it. I mean, we've just beat a very good Council Bluffs St. Albert's team by 30 the other day. And, I mean, they're a very good team. So clearly we're improving, but it all starts with the responsibilities these kids have to learn off the court. And they've done a lot better job of it, and it's shown in our play. But, yeah, you're right. We do tend to have turnover. We certainly have turnover from year to year. So that's why I mentioned that if we can keep these kids, we can get them bought into the Boys Town way, that we'll be pretty good the next couple of years.
Well, as someone who's been down in Omaha and lived down there and coached down there, I have to give you a lot of compliments for the way you guys run your program because it is a different situation. It's a unique situation, but you're always fun to watch.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that, and I think it's the listeners out there. You need to come watch these teams play because you don't get a chance to see a lot of those teams play, and you can really appreciate. With the coaches, you can appreciate the style that they play.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a chance to see these guys play at state a little bit. They are the defending state champions, folks,
by the way.
But the defending state champions beat Wahoo in the state final last year, and they're in the same district this year. Not the same sub-district, but the same district. And obviously, Tom, we know that this year the record, you're going to have to win your district to get back.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a personal opinion. I think you should do that anyway. I mean, I would love to have – I mean, I come from Iowa. I played high school basketball in Iowa. I would love to have eight districts and you win your way in. I understand the reason for the wild card. But we don't bank on that. And if I did, I'd probably schedule a little bit differently year in and year out. So we want to win, and we don't even talk about wild cards. And we had some very good teams that have lost in district finals and haven't gotten in. And you know that's just the way it goes. Sometimes your district final games are tougher and better than anything you'll see in state at times. But we're up for it. And if we're not, then you know what, we'll get better over the summer and come back at it next year. But Wahoo, now if I was on the other side of that sub-district with that sub-district, I'd probably be complaining a little bit more. I think as it stands now, guys, that Newman, who's a very good team, is the fifth seed in that district. And that's incredible. So we're looking forward to that challenge, and it's going to be a great game if Wahoo gets out and if we're fortunate enough to get out of our side as well.
Yeah, Wahoo, David City, Bishop Newman, and both Lakeview and SCOTUS in that sub-district.
Is that crazy or what?
And it's played in Columbus, so Wahoo's going to have their work cut out for a week. I don't know how much of an opportunity you've had to actually see or scout a Norfolk Catholic team, but to give us your preview for Saturday, Tom.
I have seen them. They've gone battled where we've maybe battled suspensions, they've battled injury, and we're a lot alike. I mean, we both had high expectations in the preseason. We've come through some adversity through the season. Our records maybe aren't where they should be or we expected them to be, but still very good basketball teams. The Ketter young man is a great basketball player. He has been hurt, so he's back. And then they got a guard in Boyer who's a very good shooter. And you know what? They carry over year in and year out that success from football to basketball. And guys, you can't put a price on that. The confidence those kids get, and the just being around a winning culture, they're gonna be in every game they play. And we're gonna have to play very well to beat them.
Last minute with Tom Crable, head boys basketball coach at Boystown. You guys drew the slot before the marquee matchup, probably of all time, of the Heartland Hoops Classic. Is there a buzz in the metro about this game for Omaha Central and Oak Hill like there is throughout this part of the state?
Yeah, oh yeah. Anytime Central or anybody tees it up against an out-of-state program, there's a buzz, and all, especially at Oak Hill, who's, very, very well-known and respected. And you know what? Central's lost a couple, but don't buy in it. They're very, very good. And Tradeon Hollins is coming back. And to just give you some idea, guys, Central lost to Whitney Young by 2 points, and I just saw Whitney Young on ESPN of all places just kill Simeon. So that'll give you an idea of the talent level that Central can play at, and I'm sure Oak Hill is going to bring a very good team in. So yeah, we're excited to be a part of that, and I know Eric's excited as well, and there's a big buzz, and I'm sure there'll be some people coming out that way to watch that game from Omaha.
Well, it's going to be fun, and Tommy, good luck tonight with your game at Lincoln Christian, another great basketball team in the Centennial Conference, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Take care. Tom Crable, head coach of the Boystown Cowboys. They're coming in again on Saturday to take on Norfolk Catholic.
Yeah, have you been to a Boystown home game ever?
No.
That's a great, that old field house and just the campus and whatnot. It's a great place to go visit. They've been there several different times. Actually, the head coaching job when I was about five years into my high school coaching career, interviewed for that Boystown head job. Turned it down. Decided that wasn't for me at the particular time. But it was interesting. I got to take a tour of the place, and it was a fun experience just going through that process.
Yeah, we've got to know Coach Crable a little bit outside of just this and talking to him a few times. And yeah, you hear some stories that maybe you would expect that you would hear. Then obviously you learn a lot too about some things you wouldn't expect. Some of the disciplinary things they go through. Some of the different. I mean, how it's so unlike any other. We know it's unlike other high schools in the state from the kids and the players and the athletes that they have there. But it's you'd be amazed at some of the things that they either get to do or they don't get to do that you wouldn't even take a second look at if you were going to Kearney High or Hastings High or any of the schools in the Tri-Cities.
Well, they've had some kids over the years that have been successful, and successful to them is getting through the basketball season and getting that diploma at the end. And they've had to face some things in their early part of their lifetime that, you know, you and I have no idea. And so, again, I give a lot of credit to these coaches and that program for what they do for kids. It's a great deal.
Well, we knew it'd be a long show today with catching up on National Letter of Intent signing day and talking a little bit about basketball, wrestling tomorrow. Ross Halford from Husker Mat to take a look at the district. Sean Callahan will join us. We're also going to talk with Oak Hill Academy coach Steve Smith. So we need to take a final break, wrap things up after this.
Nothing beats chocolate for Valentine's, unless it comes with deliciously sweet strawberries dipped in 100% real premium chocolate. And that's why we at Mike and Mike are so excited about Fannie Mae Berries, made from the legendary Chicago chocolate company Fannie Mae.
Unlike other companies that use an oil-based compound rather than real chocolate on their berries, Fannie Mae Berries use large, luscious strawberries and dips them into rich, premium 100% chocolate. Freshness is key, so Fannie Mae Berries are dipped and shipped within 24 hours. The perfect indulgent gift for Valentine's. Let me tell you, score some huge points. Not only is it a great gift, but they taste fantastic. Our listeners get a special offer on Fannie Mae Berries. Order the half dozen decadent strawberries for only $19.99. That's $10 off the regular price. Half dozen large strawberries dipped in milk, dark, and white chocolate for only $19.99.
Here's what you need to do, and do it now. Go to fmberries.com. That's fmberries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and type in Mike. That's fmberries.com.
The NBA on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Long jump shot is good. A deep two on the right side by Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant and the Lakers are in the middle of a seven-game road trip and have won three straight. Up next, they head to Boston to face Kevin Garnett and the Celtics.
Stepping out, long jumper. Whoa. Kevin Garnett right in the heart.
Lakers, Celtics, Thursday night, pregame at 6 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Daddy's show, Doug Giudice Kratzenstein, where you can vote on our poll question every single day at ESPNSuperstation.com. And while you're there, download our new app in the Google Play Store to listen to ESPN Radio on your mobile device or tablet. And coming soon to the App Store for your iPhone and iPad, make us a favorite on your TuneIn Radio app, and you can listen to all of our stations on the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile phone. And you can find out more at ESPNSuperstation.com. We were voting yesterday, after his performance in the Super Bowl, should Joe Flacco be considered an elite quarterback, Monty Kratzenstein? As we said, define elite.
Define elite. Should he be the highest paid quarterback? We just mentioned this off air. You know, his agent said he should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL after these contract negotiations. I say nay, nay. But, you know, he's a great quarterback, don't get me wrong. But would you take him over, fill in the blank with about five other guys? No. No.
Yeah, 56% of you says he is an elite quarterback. 44% say no. Your vote for today at ESPNSuperstation.com is, how are you feeling about Nebraska's recruiting class? Ecstatic, pleased, disappointed, or don't care about recruiting?
Do I get a vote?
Yeah.
I'll say pleased. I'm pleased. I'm excited about it. But again, I get a little cynical. As Sip said, you know, as 46-year-olds, we get a little cynical sometimes, but I'm pleased.
I'm going to need a 5-star to get to ecstatic. It's either that or don't care about recruiting, but I'm pleased. Yeah, everybody seems pleased. Let's all be pleased together. What do you think about that? Let's all be pleased.
I'm in.
I got this across the wire today from our friends at the Tri-City Storm. And again, this is where, if I had another hour today, I would have got a hold of Coach. I would have got a hold of all the folks in particular. But the Storm hasn't made as many trades and moves this year, probably since the first couple of years of the organization. They've always made so many of them, and a lot of folks in the media and fans have either given grief or wondered what's going on. The last time, and we'll figure this out as it moves along, because we'll talk to Coach Howji and the crew there, but last night was the trade deadline. And the Storm made a couple of moves, and totally without knowing what's going on behind the scene, and that's why we have this talk radio, so we can talk about stuff like this. The last time, the Storm don't have any defensemen. They're all banged up. They're hurt. So what do? They trade a defenseman away from the team. They bring in a forward in Ben Foster from Muskegon, and in exchange for Foster and future considerations, the Storm parted ways with defenseman Josh McArdle and their seventh-round pick in the 2013 draft. Plus, in order to trim the roster to 23 players, the Storm traded forward Tim Lappin to the Waterloo Blackhawks in exchange for a fifth-round pick in this summer's draft. Tim Lappin, at the beginning of the year, was one of the faces of this program. So, obviously, something going on with the Storm, and we'll find out more as they play on the road at Lincoln tomorrow and back home against Fargo on Saturday.
Well, I would be the last guy in the world to second-guess any of the Storm hockey decisions, but at the same time, I think those are questions. Maybe they're going with the Boys Town theory. They're just going to try to outscore people. Maybe it's one that they're fun to watch. They're going to score a lot of goals, give up a lot of goals, but it'd be fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch. And don't forget, you'll find out more from Jared Schaffrin, the voice of the Storm, during the two games and the coaches, which you can hear every game on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. The Nebraska women's basketball team is at Northwestern tonight. They're a 500 ball club. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. You can hear it on 1230 KHAS. Hastings College women thump Nebraska Wesleyan. The Nebraska Wesleyan men come back for an 82-79 win. That's kind of a stinger. That's going to hurt when it gets to the postseason for the Hastings men. Both teams are home against Mount Marty on Saturday. Creighton, what's up with this road stuff?
That's concerning.
They're not just kind of getting beat. They're getting thumped. And I know Indiana State's not a bad basketball team. They're 15-8, 8-4 in the conference. But they just crushed Creighton right out of the gate last night and held Doug McDermott to 8 points.
Got a theory for you. Well, we can talk about this at a different time. We have more time. But one of the theories that one of my basketball buddies always talks about is teams that are known for playing hard. Right, and we know who those are. Just their motto, their mantra is playing hard. How this time of year, and even going into March Madness, how sometimes they're just just worn down. You look at the Dukes, you look at the Kansas, you look at the Creightons, which in my mind are three teams that their mantra is how hard they play. You wonder if sometimes they just get worn down and beat up.
How about poor Kansas last night?
Oh,
now Coach Self calls it the worst team since Naismith put them on the court at Kansas. But you know what? I'm watching some of the highlights. Hey, Coach Self, time out. Tell him to quit shooting threes. Get the ball inside. You're way better. How did you score your first bucket? You got the ball inside. You're going to have a night like that, and it's going to be very embarrassing. A top five, top number one, top ten team. You're always somewhere in your history going to get beat by a team like TCU, although that is pretty embarrassing. TCU was 0-8 in the conference, had a losing record. That never happens to Kansas.
No one saw that one coming. But just like a lot of things, we're going to see, you can go two directions when something like this happens, right? And I've always said it, I'd like to be at practice today at Allen Fieldhouse. I'd like to see that because, these are the kind of games where you better draw a line in the sand and say, this can't happen again.
Sometimes you hug him, sometimes you kick him in the fanny. I don't think there's going to be any hugging going on this afternoon at Allen Fieldhouse. Nebraska volleyball fans, just like football, we told you about last week, more seats with the expansion of the stadium, obviously more seats at the Devaney Center, and they're going to fill out soon and fill up fast. But you have to fill out a form at Huskers.com to take advantage of being on this waiting list for seats at the Devaney Center. Now, there's a $25 per seat, non-refundable deposit required just to be placed on the wait list. Nice job, Nebraska. The deadline to apply is February the 18th. Let's raise some funds, and we know you'll do it. So there you go. Go to Huskers.com for more information.
How many seats will they put in that when we play at the Sports Center? Do you have any idea?
Renovated, yes, I do. Here you go. Devaney Center will be the premier venue for college volleyball, seating more than 6,500 fans and featuring new concession stands and upgraded concourses while maintaining the same loud, exciting atmosphere that the Coliseum provided Nebraska volleyball for the past 22 years.
All I know is that trying to get a ticket to a volleyball game is way more difficult than any other event in Nebraska sports. So I'm all for more seats so we can go to more games.
There you go. Finally, high school hoops tonight. St. Cecilia Sutton girls, top 10 battle on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. I'll have the Kearney Catholic Loup City games tipping off at 5:45 on Classic Hits 98.9. Hastings is at Waverly, Adams Central's at Ravenna, Minden's at Wood River, Silver Lake, Giltner, among some of the matchups today. And once this week gets over, Wrestling State next week, we're going to be getting into postseason. And Monty, I'm waiting to hear from some of the folks out there, and you can email us anytime or Facebook us. we're going to get down to the greatest high school moments in Devaney history, because it's going to be a new, it's going to be a new time, not only for the Huskers but for high school basketball. And I caught myself here in the last few days watching the Giltner shots the last 2 years, watching the 1971 final, Lincoln East hitting the shot at the buzzer, even though that was at the Coliseum, that wasn't even at the Devaney. Watching Amber Hagee bank in a three against Norfolk Catholic at the buzzer to win. Watching Wahoo's miracle comeback, to me, the greatest moment, exciting moment in the history of the Devaney, probably including college, but definitely when it comes to high school, when they beat Lincoln Pius X, and I'm sure I'm missing a few more. Broken Bow did it. I just haven't found that one on video yet to rewatch.
There's a lot of them, and it's funny how just what you said, you go through this and you can think about how many things I think about Ogallala beating Wahoo,
yeah,
and when Spady was playing, and there's just multiple things. It'll be fun to compile a list. We can do that.
Some good stuff, and that should be good enough, because we are way over time on the Doug and Daddy Show today. But we want to thank all of the folks that talked about National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, UNK football coach Daryl Morris, Hastings College football coach Tony Harper. Also to Tom Crable, head boys basketball coach at Boys Town. They'll play Norfolk Catholic at 7 o'clock Saturday night in the Heartland Hoops Classic in Grand Island. Tomorrow, we will talk with the head coach of last year's number one high school basketball team in the country, Oak Hill Academy. Steve Smith will join us tomorrow. Also, Ross Halford from Husker Mat and Sean Callahan from HuskerOnline.com. Jimmy Langens in as our co-host. And Monty, thanks for coming in with your insight again today.
Always fun.
Appreciate it. Monty Kratzenstein is our co-host today. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for listening. Don't forget Lakers-Celtics tonight here on ESPN Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.